And so it's the start of September. Schools are back. Holidays are sadly over. And for all of us, routines, I'm sure, are up and running as it was before the summer. And here's a question as we start this academic year, beginning of September, what do you want from it? What do you want from it? All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest an answer. It might be one of the answers that lies behind our kind of initial thoughts in our minds now. It's that deep down, we all want wisdom. Deep down, we all want wisdom. Life is absolutely chock-a-block, full of decisions to make. And now, some of those decisions are sort of right and wrong decisions. But there are loads of decisions that aren't right and wrong decisions, but are wise and unwise decisions in our lives. Decisions where we have freedom to choose. And it isn't right or wrong what we do, but it might be wise or unwise, a decision that we make. So I think in life, we so badly want to make the right decision. We want to be wise in our choices, in our lifestyle, what we do, where we go. Which school to send our kids to, which friends to hang out with, which job to do, which house to live in, which person to marry. The list goes on and on and on of wise decisions, small and big, that we want wisdom in. You see, wisdom is about living as God's creatures in God's world, God's way, in the everyday. Wisdom is competency in the complexities of our lives. We want wisdom. And that's why I think it's wonderful that we're starting the beginning of this academic year thinking about wisdom, learning from the wisdom of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, it's got King Solomon's name at the very top. It's down to him. There are other people involved, but he's the main guy. And he was into wisdom in a big way. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 3, God asks him, Solomon, what do you want at the beginning of your sort of kingly academic year? What do you want? And he says, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom. And over the next just 2 weeks, we're only going to scratch the surface in the book of Proverbs. We're only going to look at chapter 1. But hopefully, we'll do it in a way that just whets your appetite for a bit more Proverbs in your life, in our lives. That would be a great way to finish this next fortnight, wanting to get a bit more Proverbs. So want wisdom, that's what we're going to be thinking about. And before I pray, let me read James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Want wisdom, lack wisdom? Ask God. He gives it generously. So let's ask him for that now. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you are the God of all wisdom. And so thank you, Lord, that we can come before you now and ask you for your wisdom in our lives. We pray, Lord, for this week and next, as we think about wisdom from the book of Proverbs, please make us individuals a church that is wise like our Lord and our Savior Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. I'm going to invite Harriet up now, who's going to come and bring us our reading from Proverbs chapter 1.
The reading this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 1. Verses 1 to 7, and that can be found on page 635 on your Bible. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is the word of the Lord.
Harriet, thanks so much for reading for us. And as you remember, beginning of the academic year, let's want wisdom. And why? Well, firstly, because it affects all of life. All of life. Have a look there, Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll pick it up from verse 2. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. Now, did you see all of life described in those verses? So firstly, at the beginning of verse 2, for gaining wisdom and instruction, to know wisdom and instruction. Firstly, it's all about the head. We need to be taught wisdom. We're not born naturally wise, not at all. So we need to hear it. We need to be taught it. We need to listen and listen to those who are teaching us wisdom listen to it, to the head. It's also about the heart for understanding words of insight. So we want to hear wise words. We want to understand them. If you like, take them in, chew on them, let them work on our hearts. We want to internalize what we've been taught, not just leave it in our heads, but let it go down into our hearts. We want to be changed by wisdom. See, wisdom is about our character. It's about sort of who we are. We want to internalize wisdom, be changed by the Spirit of God to be wise from the inside out. And then thirdly, so there's head, heart, and it's also about the hands. Prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. We are to do wisdom. It's active. It's practical. Wisdom is about our decisions, about our ethics, about our morals, about how we live every single day and every decision we make. Wisdom is about living as God's creatures in God's world, God's way, in the everyday. Wisdom is godly living. I know it's just started September, but cast your mind forward to July, and it's my 10th wedding anniversary. And we're going to play a little game. It's called Wise or Unwise, all right? on a wedding anniversary, is it wise or unwise for me just to know in my head that it's our anniversary and that's it? Wise or unwise? Shout it out. Yeah, well done. Yeah, well done. On our anniversary, is it wise or unwise for me to know it's my anniversary in my head, but then to understand it in my heart, I really know I should do something. Yeah, I will do something, but that's it. To understand it, wise or unwise? There you go. Okay, third, it's our anniversary. I know in my head that it's our anniversary. I know in my heart that I should do something about it. And then I actually go and do something. I buy some flowers, I write a card, go out for dinner, go on a nice trip, something. I actually do something about it. Wise or unwise? Yeah. But we'll have to wait and see, come July, if I've listened to my own sermon, all right? You can ask Erica later in the year. But we need all three. We need our head, we need our heart, and we need our hands for godly wisdom. And so at the start of our academic year, which one? Head, heart, hands? Is there one of those that you think God might be impressing upon you now as something you want to grow in, to be more wise in? Maybe as we start our life groups this week, and we'll be discussing this passage. Maybe that would be something to share, head, heart, or hands. Which one would you like to grow in this year in wisdom? And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm lacking all three, and I'm there with you. Well, why not think about an area of life, maybe a decision you've got to make, or something that's on your mind that you'd love to be more wise in? And maybe think about those three areas, head, heart, hands. How could you be wise in something that's going on in life? So let's want wisdom. And because it affects all of life, head, heart, hands. But secondly, let's want wisdom because it's on offer to all people, absolutely everyone. We'll pick it up, verse 4. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Wisdom is for the simple. Proverbs absolutely loves this term, the simple. If you end up reading through Proverbs, you'll see it everywhere. It means the young, the gullible, the impressionable, sort of inexperienced youth. But being simple, that it's got nothing to do with being clever. It's not about your IQ or your GCSEs, if you went to university or not. You can get top marks in all those things, but still be simple. Simple is about being an inexperienced and impressionable youth. It's like being the new guy at work, struggling to use the photocopier for the first time. He's not stupid. He's just inexperienced. He doesn't know how it works. In the language of Proverbs, he's simple. And the simple, sorry if this offends us, or you sitting there, the simple is most of us. Maybe if I say it's simple, sort of inexperienced or impressionable youth, maybe we'll take youth instead. But to most of us, the simple, let's want wisdom. Let's want wisdom to live as God's creatures in God's world, God's way, in the everyday. But wisdom isn't just for the simple. It's for all, as I said. It's also for the wise. Verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let them add to their learning. It sounds wrong, doesn't it? The wise are to want wisdom. But aren't they already wise? Don't they already have it? Well, yes, they do. But the wise can still listen and add to their wisdom, add to their learning. They can grow in wisdom. And that's the hallmark of a wise person. Not their ability, but their humility. They know that they don't know it all. They're eager to keep growing in wisdom. Let me tell you about the Tuesday Life Group that meets in the back every Tuesday afternoon. Now, I told them I'd embarrass them so that they know it's coming. They are a group of wise people. They've experienced life, lots of life, and in humility, they want to keep growing in wisdom. You see, on a Tuesday, like we do on a Wednesday and a Friday life group, we discuss the sermon and the passage the sermon's been on during the week from the previous Sunday. Now, if I've preached the sermon on the Sunday and then we've discussed it on the Tuesday together, the group almost routinely hear me say, week in, week out, I wish we had discussed this passage together before my sermon, because what you've just said is brilliant and I wish it was included in the sermon. They are full of wisdom, but in their humility, they don't say, yes, you probably should have, Johnny. Not at all, just the opposite. They say, no, thank you for this discussion. It's really helped me grow, and I know more. They're adding to their wisdom. The wise, they keep growing in wisdom. And thinking about the wise and the simple, the young, it is remarkable that around us now, in the church, in God's church, God has made it the way it is, where all ages, young and old, young, simple, wise, all together are building relationships with one another. so that godly wisdom can be shared and we can hear it and we can grow and develop in our own wisdom. God's unique and beautiful and mastery of putting us all together. One reason is to grow in wisdom, to demonstrate God's wisdom to the world. So to us simple lot, impressionable young ones of whatever age, if you want to be wise, spend time with the wise. And to the wise amongst us here, please share your wisdom with us. So let's want wisdom. Remember, it's on offer to all people, simple and wise. And finally, let's want wisdom, and it's only found in the fear of the Lord. It's only found in the fear of the Lord. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I mentioned the simple comes up lots. The fear of the Lord comes up loads in the book of Proverbs too. Proverbs is telling us that if we want wisdom this morning, the only place it's going to be found is in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord here, verse 7, is described as the beginning of knowledge. And those words are kind of interchangeable, the beginning of wisdom. By that, it means it's the central, the foundational, chief place to find wisdom. It's where we start looking for wisdom, but we never leave it behind. We keep going with it. If you like, what bricks are to a building, or I'm told flour is to a cake, or grains of sand are to a beach, the fear of the Lord is to wisdom. We want wisdom, and it is found in the fear of the Lord. Now, as Captain Perch helped us with, Adam helped us with earlier, it isn't a terror, a cowering scared of God. Oh no, God's coming, we're in for it now sort of idea. If we love and we follow Jesus, we are his children. We're loved, we're adopted, we're chosen, we're redeemed. We are safe in his everlasting arms. So fear of the Lord, it cannot mean being scared of God. Instead, to help us out, we're going to turn to Wind in the Willows. Wind in the Willows, what a story it is. And just to give you a little context, there's Mole and there's Ratty, and they're looking for baby Otter when they stumble into the presence of God. Then suddenly the mole felt a great awe fall upon him, an awe that turned his muscles to water, bowed his head, and rooted his feet to the ground. It was not panic terror. Indeed, he felt wonderfully at peace and happy. But it was awe that smote and held him, and without seeing, he knew it could only be some presence that was very, very near to him. Rat, he found breath to whisper, shaking. Are you afraid? Afraid, murmured the rat, his eyes shining with an unutterable love. Afraid of him? No, never, never. And yet, O mole, I am afraid. Then the two animals, crouching to the earth, bowed their head and did worship. They bowed their heads and did worship. There was humility and worship in the fear of the Lord. You see, the fear of the Lord, it involves a right view of ourselves. There's humility. It's a lifestyle characterized by lowliness. It affects all of life, our head, heart, hands, our emotions, our desires, our thoughts, our wills, our actions. And it's a way of life that doesn't sort of stand up high looking down on God. But it's a way of life that is on the ground, looking up to God. It's like, if Wind of the Willows isn't your thing, maybe it's The Lion King. There's a scene in The Lion King. You've got all the animals down in the plain, and they're looking up to Pride Rock, where the good King Mufasa is standing at the top. They're down on the ground, and they're looking up. It's humility. It is utter dependence on God. But the fear of the Lord, it also involves a right view of God, not just ourselves, and it is one of worship. It's a life characterized by awe and wonder. It's submission, it's reverence, trusting that God is God to you. It's not scared, but it's serious. Now, there's a pastor called John Calvin, and he said it like this: man or woman is never sufficiently touched and affected by the awareness of his lowly state until he has compared himself with God's majesty. A right view of God, his majesty. Then a right view of ourselves, humility. That's the fear of the Lord. If you like, the fear of the Lord is simply the Old Testament description of faith, humility and worship. That's wisdom. But the way of wisdom is not chosen by all people. Verse 7, end of it, we meet the fool, those who despise wisdom. You see, two paths are being laid out for us, the way of wisdom and the way of folly, or the fool. And we're that simple, impressionable youth that stands at the beginning, seeing these two paths that go out. Which one are we going to choose? And next week, we'll be picking up those two paths and seeing what it looks like to follow one or the other. But just for today, as Proverbs opens up for us, God wants us to see that central to this path of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, humility and worship, faith. They bowed their heads and did worship. And years after the Proverbs of wisdom came the person of wisdom, wisdom personified. Jesus himself said, he said in Luke's gospel that he was greater than the wisdom of Solomon. To many, the wisdom of Jesus didn't look wise, but foolish. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The moment when the wise man Jesus bows his head, breathes his last on the cross, was not foolishness, but God's wisdom. So want wisdom? Remember James chapter 1, verse 5 at the beginning? Wisdom comes from God. So let's look to him for it. Let's ask him for it, and he loves to give it to us. Let's look to Jesus. Let's see his humility, his faith, his fear of the Lord. So we want wisdom this year, don't we? Let's find it in the fear of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord. A faith all about humility and worship. Now, I recognize for some of us, finding faith, having faith, is not where we're at just now. But I'm sure we all want wisdom in decisions that we make in life. But God's wisdom, spoken about here, is only on offer for his children, for his followers, those who have humbled themselves in repentance and worship Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And so maybe that doesn't describe you, humility and worship. But putting your faith in our wise God is the wisest decision you'll ever make in your life. But others might be questioning, was that really the wisest decision in my life, putting my faith in Jesus? Life is only harder. Decisions are only tougher. And I'm tired of being a Christian. If that's you, please keep looking to Jesus. He is God's wisdom. Keep looking at the cross. It displays God's wisdom. And keep looking to the church, because it demonstrates God's wisdom to the world. Want wisdom? Well, don't try and look for it anywhere else. It's found in Jesus. And for others, the fear of the Lord, I don't know if you're like me, that wouldn't quite be the way I've described my faith over the summer. It's been easy to be sort of too casual or too kind of overconfident with God over the summer. So if that's like you, let's start this September. Join in with me praying for our faith, that it would be one marked by humility and worship. We all want wisdom. Wisdom involves all of life. It's on offer to us all, and it is found in the fear of the Lord. They bowed their heads and did worship. Let me pray now. Our Father in heaven, we come before you with heads bowed, maybe not physically, but in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we would be marked by the fear of the Lord, heads bowed and looking up to you for all wisdom, worshipping you, the God of all wisdom, and following you, our Saviour, who shows us your wisdom. Please grow us to be those that want to be wise, and grow us to be those that fear the Lord this academic year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.